Well, today we're going to do a message on our series this month, which is the missing piece, the missing piece. So we've seen that there can be a missing puzzle piece, and in the missing puzzle piece of our life many times is peace, P-E-A-C-E. So we've looked over these last weeks, Pastor David and I talking on different aspects of this, and today we're going to do another aspect of this, and it's this. How do you make the missing piece? When something is missing, when peace is missing, how would we make peace? I hope you picked up a fill-in sheet when you came in. You can follow along with us this morning. Here's the first point. You will not find peace. You need to make it. A lot of people are looking for peace, and they can't find it in their situation, so they think, I'll move to another situation. There's no peace in this neighborhood, I'll move to another neighborhood. There's no peace at work, I'm going to move to another workplace. And no peace in that church, I'm going to move to another place. We always want peace, we're longing for peace, so we're seeking peace, but we never think, maybe I won't find it, I have to make it. Now, the scripture tells us why you won't find peace in this world. It says in Romans 3, verses 3 to 10, and then up to verse 17, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God. Now, this is our natural perspective of the world in general. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. The way of peace they have not known. The whole world is looking for peace. I mean, the stereotype question for beauty pageants, you know, what are you wishing for? I'm wishing for world peace. You know, we know that's just part of it, and we're looking for peace in the world, and politicians that can help us to get peace in the world. But it says the way of peace they have not known, because Isaiah 48:22 says, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. You know, we've heard the expression, no peace for the wicked. Well, it comes from this portion of Scripture. We're all imperfect. We all have failed. We've all come short of the Lord. None are righteous. And a natural result of that is a lack of peace. You know, there's a bumper sticker I saw one time. It says, no God, N-O, no God, no peace. And then under it said, no God, K-N-O-W, no peace. And it's so true. If there's no God, there's going to be no peace. But if you know God, then you're going to know peace. So it's not an aspect of saying, I got to find it. It's somewhere out there, just elusive. If I could just find the right person, if I could just find the right situation, I would have peace. It's not going to happen. The next point is this. Jesus was the first to make peace, to remedy this aspect of the wicked and our separation from God. And it summarized basically this verse we've been using this season, Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, Everlasting Father, and in this last phrase, the Prince of Peace. Jesus came to personify peace. The Lord saw there was no peace between God and man. Our sin had separated us, and it separates us from God, and it also separates us from peace with each other. And inner peace, there's different aspects of peace. Peace with God, peace with each other, inner peace in your heart, your own mind, lack of anxiety. And so all of this, Jesus came to solve this problem of bringing peace. It says in Ephesians 2, and this just summarizes, and we used some of this on Christmas Eve when we talked about how Jesus was the missing piece that came to connect us with God. For he himself is our peace. He himself is our peace. Now, here's a clue. Peace is in a person. the peace in your relationship with God is going to be the person of Jesus Christ. Peace in your relationships one towards another is also dependent upon a person, not just Jesus, but I'm jump ahead here, your own person. Because as we said earlier, we have to make peace. Jesus showed us how peace was made. God was 100% right. Man was 100% wrong, separated from each other. And it says here, as we go on to read, and it says, he wanted to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Making peace. That he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. Enmity is the reason we don't have peace. There is enmity. There's a warfare. There's a conflict. There's a contention. And when that happens, it takes away our peace. And so this is telling us that Christ came. And another portion of Scripture, well, it's in this portion, but I don't have it written here. He said he made peace by breaking down the middle wall of partition. It's like man was here and God was here. And a way that Christ made peace was he broke down the middle wall. The way he makes peace between two factions. You know, you're on one side of an issue. There's other people on another side. And Scripture says there's bars of contention between. There's enmity between. And the way that peace is made is breaking down the wall. Now, suddenly, the wall's gone. They were separate, but now automatically, because the wall's gone, they're in a bigger room. He didn't make peace by saying, everybody on this side of the wall, you're going to have to come to this side of the wall, and you got to agree together here. That's how you're going to have peace. And he didn't say to this group, you've got to come over to this side and come to an agreement and make peace. He just broke down the middle wall. Now, suddenly, neither side had moved, but now, because the enmity was removed, there was an ability to come together, and the enmity could be removed so that they could have peace. Now, I could go long on this, but I'm just going to leave it at that point. We many times think how we make peace is I have to persuade them to my point of view, then we'll have peace. Or we got to meet somewhere in the middle. The only problem, the middle, is where this wall of enmity is. And every time you're trying to meet in the middle, we all know what it's like. The fight gets bigger and longer and intensifies. It's hard to meet in the middle. But to make peace, this scripture tells us how it's done. He took the enmity in his own flesh. He took it in his own flesh and he made peace. So, I'm going to leave it at that because we're going to come back around this again. But I want you to just see that Jesus gave us the example of how peace is made. And if we're going to make peace and not find it, we're going to have to follow the same recipe that Jesus followed to make peace. We're going to have to follow that same recipe for peace to be in our lives. Here's the next point. God desires us to make peace with others. He wants us to live at peace. Matthew 5 and verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. It didn't say, blessed are the peace seekers. It didn't say, blessed are the peacekeepers. It said, blessed are the peacemakers. You have to make peace. And as a result, it said, those that make peace are called the sons of God, shall be called the sons of God. In other words, you're going to make peace the same way the Son of God made peace. and the way he made peace, and when you make peace that same way, we're going to be called sons and daughters of God, because it's the same recipe to make peace. Proverbs 3 and 13 says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. So if we find wisdom and we have understanding, and hopefully God will help us tonight, today as we talk about this, to gain some wisdom on this and gain some understanding. Because it says if you do, personifying wisdom as a lady says, all her ways are pleasantness and all her paths are peace. All of her paths, all of her ways, all of her road that she's walking on, they're all peaceful. It's not some are peaceful, others are hazardous, others really cause you a lot of anxiety. It says all of her ways are peace. Now, this is amazing when you think about this. Is it possible for all of our ways to be at peace? I think it is if you'll make peace. You won't find it in that roadway. You'll find maybe a lot of conflict, anxiety, enmity. But if you make peace in the path you're walking on because you have wisdom and understanding, then is it possible that all your ways would be peaceful? And when you think about that, ask yourself, are all my ways peaceful? Is every path you're walking, every relationship, every situation you're in, are all your ways peace? In your marriage, in your relatives, your neighbors, your associates, do you have peace in those relationships? Here's your next point. As much as depends on you, make peace. Now, these verses dig down deep in our hearts, and man, we're going to feel them root around in our soul here this morning. It says in Romans 12, be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your minds on high things, but associate with the humble. Another, don't think yourself above, you're high, you're haughty. Associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Don't be on your side of the wall and saying, they're so dumb over there, no wonder. You know, we can't get along. If they just sort of understand my opinion, they would accept what I'm saying is right. You know, so it says, you know, don't be wise in your own opinion. Think that you know it. You have a better view of than anyone else has. Don't think of yourself in that way. You might have a better view, but in your heart and your attitudes, it's not what you're portraying. It's not what's coming out to you from you to other people. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Now, here's the verse that really digs down. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Think about your situation. Maybe someone that you're having conflict with. There's enmity. There's a disagreement. There's no peace in this situation. Just ask yourself, is there anything I could do that could bring peace? And you go, well, I suppose, but I'm not going to be a doormat. I'm not going to get walked over. I mean, someone's got to stand up for what's right. They've just gone on too far this way. You know, someone's got to tell them. It's about time someone told them. So I have a right. I have to stand for what's right here. I'll just say it briefly. If you live your life through the grid of good and evil, that was the temptation in the garden, eat the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, and you're judging everything by your grid of right and wrong, you're going to have conflict all the time. You're going to be judging people all the time. They're not doing that way. They're not doing that way. They should be like me. I'm going to tell them what they should do. I need to stand up. You're going to have conflict all the time with people because you think you know it. And I'm right, they're wrong. And the Lord says, I never intended you to eat the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you do, you'll die. We're not made that we can handle that. You're just going to have conflict problems all the time. He just says, eat from the fruit of life. Just come to me. Have your life from me. Let me give you my heart, my mind. Let me direct you. Don't decide for yourself what's right and wrong. Look to me as your source. This is the whole story of the Garden of Eden and this sense of right and wrong, but it comes into all of our ways. So it crowds into the ways we're walking and disrupts our relationships with other people. We look down on people. We're not like Carol said in the video where she could actually reach out and give this man a hug who's obviously devastated his life with alcohol and bad choices. And she just says, can I have a hug? And he said, I've never had a hug before. I mean, that's a different view than I'm right, you're wrong, I'm going to tell you what you should do. And so all of this plays into this point as much as depends on you. Could you do something? Well, everything within us reacts to this. We feel like we're losing face. And we're admitting that we're wrong if I accept someone else. And so we don't want to, you know, yeah, I could do that, but I don't want to do that. Well, you won't make peace then. Because as much as depends on you, if you do everything you can do to make peace, then you're going to have a peaceful situation. But it's going to cost you something. Here's the situation. It says in Proverbs 16:7, when a man's way please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. If you do things God's way, even though it's self-sacrificial, if you do things God's way, he will make your enemy, your worst enemy, to be at peace with you. Now, I think we should take note, it will not make God's enemies to be at peace with you, but your enemies, your interactions with one another. I mean, we're still fighting principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. That's who we're battling. We're not battling people. But we get it down, I'm battling that person, what they did and what they said and how they acted and how they treated me. So we're battling the person. We still battle God's enemies, greed and all, you know, all the things, principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. So we're still taking up the battle there, but that battle mostly is in prayer. Spiritual warfare mostly happens in prayer. But we're loving our enemies, and we're doing good to those who are spitefully using us. And so this is the mindset that we have as Christians. As much as depends on me, I'll live at peace with all men. I put in your notes this statement, which is so true. The individual ingredients... I'm jumping ahead. Here's the point. Pursue the ingredients of peace is your next feeling. Pursue the ingredients of peace. If you're going to make peace, it's like making a cake. You got to find the ingredients to make peace. Find the ingredients to make peace. And Romans 14:19 says, Let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. You have to pursue them. They're not easily attainable. they'll turn and sort of growl at you and you shy away from them. But you got to pursue these ingredients. They're out there. They're not easily accessible to lay hold of, but you got to pursue them. There are things, there are ingredients that if you lay hold of today in this message and say, I'm going to pursue these things, you can have peace and all your paths can be peaceful. This is the teaching of the Word of God. But I put this, and this is where we're back to, the individual ingredients are unpleasant and distasteful. I mean, these ingredients are not palatable. They do not taste good. It's just like you're making a cake, and one of the ingredients is a cup of flour. Say, here, eat this cup of flour. Well, you'd get a little bit in your mouth, and you'd choke on it and say, I don't want that thing. There's no way I'm ingesting that. You push it away from you. I had a taste of that, and I didn't like it. Or here's a cup of lard to put in this. Or here's some salt that's going to go in there. Just eat this salt. On you can go with the ingredients that we would put into a cake. Each individual ingredient, they're distasteful, they're not pleasant, and yet if we take all of the ingredients and we make an effort to put them in the bowl and to stir them together to make peace, then the end product comes out that we would not expect. And so we've got to get past this idea, and we're talking about these things, that, man, we don't like it. I don't want to hear this. I don't want, you know, this is just going to extremes. This will not work. All the things that come up in our mind that wants us to push away these ingredients because they don't seem like they're going to do any good. In fact, the further I stay away from them, the better. And so I want us to go on and look at these ingredients that are costly. They're going to cost you something if you embrace these ingredients. Jesus knew the cost for making peace, and he shied away from it. When the cup became, when one of the cup, you know, the ingredients in one of the cup came before him, he said, Father, let this cup pass from me, you know. He didn't want to drink the cup, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He took the cup of suffering. It says in Isaiah 53, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. I mean, he was wounded. He was bruised. Listen, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. The peace that he was making with God for us on the cross, the chastisement of that peace was upon him. He had to take a chastisement. He had to take the penalty. He had to take the enmity. He had to absorb it. He had to break down that middle wall of contention. He absorbed it within himself. He had to forgive the very people that were crucifying him and, as I said on Tuesday night, jeering and taunting him. He was dying for them. God shows his love towards us by giving himself. This is the cost. So when we talk about making peace, this is not just like, okay, yeah, I think I will. This is going to cost you to make this peace. I think I'll just stick with the conflict. But we're not doing any good in the conflict. We're not blessing anybody. We're not bringing them closer to the Lord. We're just building the enmity, and we get more and more, and there's breakups, and there's all kinds of the ugliness that comes with a lack of peace. It's just phenomenal. But the cost is still there to make the peace. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. So this is what we're talking about. God showed love on the cross. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He came, died on the cross for us, took our place, took our penalty, and he showed the love of God. I mean, this is the love of God. Hereby we perceive the love of God. He laid down his life for us. And then it goes on to say, and here's the real, as they say, this is the kicker on this verse. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, for others. He showed us how to make peace. He showed us what love was like. And now we, in turn, are to do the very same thing to make peace with other people. And the recipe is the same. The ingredients are the same. And we have to absorb in our own flesh and attitudes the enmity so that peace can be made. All right, so let's look quickly at the ingredients here. The first ingredient is this: submission. Submission. Submit to authority. I don't know why we don't like to do this. I think it's because we know better. We see the consequence of maybe what authorities have done. We don't want to submit to authority. There's something within us. We want to do our own thing, want to be our own boss. No one's going to tell me what to do. You're not the boss of me. There's all these things that spring up with us. But I tell you, the first ingredient, if you're going to make peace, is to submit to authority. Jesus submitted to authority when in that cup said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." He said, "It's not me." I said, even Jesus did not please himself. There are some things Jesus did not want to do. But he did it out of love for God and for us. So we are to submit. The reason is all authority comes from God. And there's no authority that has not come from God. Romans 13 teaches this very clearly to us. Not just good authority, but bad authorities, evil authorities. They come from God. And we are to submit not to the point of disobeying God, because they told, the ones that told the apostles, you know, don't preach anymore in his name. And they said, well, you know, you just choose for yourself. I mean, we have to obey God, not man. So this is not that we disobey God. But many times our lack of peace and frustration, whether it's with a boss or with a teacher, or if it's with a government authority, if it's a judge, if it's the policeman, if it's someone that's working, we complain, we show our frustration, we get angry. And we're just saying, you know, we don't want to submit to this law. Now, if it's an evil law from, like I say, contrary to God, then we don't. But if it's just a matter of my opinion, my thoughts, this is going to inconvenience me, hey. Jesus told the disciples to pay their taxes to Rome, an evil empire, an ungodly empire. Pay your taxes. Pay taxes to whom taxes are due. It's all in Romans 13. He's saying you're submitting to authority. We need to submit to those who are. If, you know what? I don't know the percentage, but I would say probably 75% of all conflicts would end if the person under authority would just submit and just say, you know what? I don't want to do this. I think I need to do this, but you know what? I'm going to submit. I'm going to do this anyway. And make peace. We don't have peace because we're fighting. We're thinking I know better. These are things I don't know whether we really think through enough. God's own people, they're in Egypt. They're under the authority of the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh is oppressing them and afflicting them. But he does not even allow his people to leave until Pharaoh says, okay. And so Moses keeps going to Pharaoh saying, let my people go. He says no. So God brings tremendous pressure on him with plagues. But they don't get the go until finally, at the last plague, Pharaoh says, okay, you can go. And he gave permission, and then his people left. I don't know whether we think these things through. I mean, if God's own people would not leave and just rebel to leave Egypt until the authority says, okay, you can go, then why do we feel very justified to stand up against authorities in our life? It's one of the key ingredients of peace, making peace. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you, who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly. In love for their work's sake, be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace among yourself. You do that by submitting, by recognizing the authority that is upon an individual. Here's the second one. Don't contend. Don't contend. Hold your peace. Here's the second ingredient on how to make peace. You're not contentious. You actually, and I love how this phrase is, hold your peace. The word peace is even in this. Hold your peace. You want to make peace, you got to stop doing this. And it says in Proverbs 17:20, even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. In other words, you want to be considered wise and perceptive, don't always spout off the first time you hear something. Listen. Don't be quick to speak. Hold your peace. You know, we're talking about holding your peace. Oh, I had to bite my tongue. I almost said something, but I held my peace. Well, it's more than you think. You really did hold your peace if you had it. But it's to do it from your heart, not just outwardly, that your heart actually embraces the peace because you realize God is bigger than this thing. And I don't need to be the one that fights for this unless he's telling me to do this. Hold your peace. I don't know of anyone that ever says, when someone asks them, are you contentious? Well, no, I'm not contentious. We know not to be contentious. We know the scriptures that say, you know, it's better to dwell in a small little area of a housetop than to live in a wide house with a contentious woman. We know we're not to be contentious, but let me add, men can be as contentious as women. But we know we shouldn't be contentious, so we never own up to being contentious. But I say, do you ever argue for your opinion? Well, yeah, I do that. Well, then you're being contentious. You can offer your opinion. You don't need to offer your opinion. But you don't need to fight for your opinion because now you're being contentious. And contentions are like a bar of a castle. They separate you from people and they cause enmity. I've expressed my opinion. Now I'm invested in my opinion. So if someone actually begins to show me that my opinion is wrong, it's not just my opinion. Now I'm invested. I'm going to lose face here. I don't want to be seen to be wrong. I don't want to be seen to be stupid. So we fight many times for a very flimsy thing because we've invested in it. Far better just to say, here's my thought on it, and just put it out there and not contend for it. Esteem others better than yourself. Don't be wiser in your own opinion. Be able to say, here's what I think. Ask questions around it, but don't contend for it. That's what creates the lack of peace in situation. If you're going to make peace, that's the second thing to do. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbors, but a man of understanding holds his peace. In Proverbs 29:9, if a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether the fool rages or laughs, there is no peace. So you really think this other person is foolish and I need to set him straight? It says it really doesn't matter whether the foolish man rages or whether he laughs at you. He said you're going to lack peace. Don't get in contentions. Don't get in a back and forth. Don't get into arguments. The Bible says anyone can start an argument. It takes someone with wisdom and understanding to cause the contention level to go down. Here's number three in the ingredients. I even hate to mention it because this one we don't like. Expect to be wronged and mistreated. Just expect it. This is a normal thing. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 9. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. You're not returning in kind. They spoke something mean, I'll speak something mean. They reviled me, I'll revile them. The back and forth. But on the contrary, blessing. Return a blessing to the person. Do something completely different than what they expected. Return a blessing. And here's the key phrase. Knowing that you were called to this. This is what we're called to do. We're called to shine like a bright light in the world. We are to act differently. We don't respond in kind. And it gets people's attention. If you don't argue back, you don't fight back, you don't contend back. It says, know that you were called to this. So when someone offends you, hurts you, mistreats you, rather than think, oh, how bad this is, I'm going to get even with them, think to yourself, this is a tremendous opportunity for me to make peace here and make a difference. Because when you respond differently, you open a door for God to convict the person. If you just contend back and forth, they become very defensive. They lock all the doors. They're not going to hear what you say. They're fighting back at everything you say. But if you respond with a different attitude and you take the enmity, you take the wrong, now they can't understand why you did that. They have no one to blame now. They've been blaming you. They've been justifying their position by blaming you. But when you no longer reject the blame, and so you just, they never felt condemned in Jesus' presence, but they felt convicted. And this is knowing that this is what we're called to in this world. We're to be peacemakers. We're to love others as Christ loved us. He laid his life down. We're to lay our life down, but there's a reward that comes on the end of it. Peace and salvation. Redeeming the situation, redeeming the relationship, redeeming the marriage, redeeming the connection, whatever it is, there's something that comes at the end of it because we have done it God's way. It goes on to say, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. This is the whole aspect. I'm going to make peace. I can have peace. If it depends on me, I'm going to do everything that depends on me to make peace. And why can we do it? You want to say it with me? Romans 8:28. I think they'll bring it up on the screen. Let's say it all together, this verse. Because this is the foundational verse here. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. You're never going to lose out. You're never going to be left at a loss. He's going to work all things together for good. Yes, they mistreated you. Yes, they lied about you. Yes, they offended you. Yes, they ripped you off in this thing. But you know what? God's bigger than that situation. I'm not going to lose peace over this. God's going to turn this very thing together for good. He's asking me now to take on a new role to make peace, show the love of God, begin to act in a way that they would never understand why I'm acting this way. But you do it as unto the Lord, and God is praised and glorified in the end. Wow. Here's number four. We'll move quickly here. Act in a way to make peace, do not react. Well, we've already talked about it, but let's just look at a very common portion of Scripture in Matthew 5:39 and break it down into these three parts. And just follow what it says. Jesus said, this is Jesus' teaching, "But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him." This is speaking whenever you're slapped with a personal insult. They should not have said that. That hurt when they said that. They hit you on the right cheek. Jesus said what you need to do is not try to punch back, hit back, slap back. No, you turn the other cheek in the sense of you remain open. You haven't turned away from them. You're still vulnerable. I'll still say in this situation, what you said hurt me, but I'm still open. I'm not going to shy away. This is a tremendous aspect to make peace. Personal insult. Now let's see what Jesus says next. "And if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also." Any material loss. You've been wrong. This shouldn't have happened. You've lost money over this. He says, rather than suing back, they sued me, I'll sue them. No, he says, if they sue to take away your tunic, well, give them your cloak also. Don't lose peace over this. Oh, man, I see so many people in all kinds of situations lose peace over something. They can't sleep at night. Some contractor that was doing work for them has ripped them off, and now they're going to be out several hundreds of dollars. And I got to fight back, and I lose sleep, and I'm arguing, and I'm fighting. Listen, folks, you know what I've decided? I want to act in a way in any one of these interactions where I can, at the end of the day, tell them about Jesus. And I'm not feeling like this is really different than what I was just yelling at you. But I can tell them about the Lord. I can tell them the Lord loves them. The Lord cares for them. What if it costs me $200 or $300 for that piece? Well, whatever depends on me, make peace. Do you think God can't give you back $300 in a snap of his fingers? Why do we get so upset when someone tries to take away our tunic? Why don't we give them our coat too? Why don't we say, this is what I'm called to? I'm just shining like a bright light here. I'm going to live at peace. All my pathways are going to be peace. I have found out over the years when I will go that extra mile. It doesn't mean you don't bring something up. You don't say, hey, what was this expenditure or whatever? It doesn't mean you don't talk about things. It just means you don't contend. You don't fight. Everybody's got a different perspective. You're looking at it from your perspective. That shouldn't be. The other guy's looking from his perspective. Well, I had to charge that. Why lose peace over this? Why don't we just relax and say, this is going to be peaceful as much as depends on me. Hey, I'll just pay the extra. Will you go wrong? I don't think so. When it's the teaching of Jesus. Here's the last one. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. This is when people take advantage of you. You've been taken advantage of. They've asked you to do more than what you should have been had to do. And rather than getting to the point, I've had enough, I've headed up to here, I'm not taking this anymore, why don't you just go the second mile? Why don't you just go the second mile and do it as unto the Lord? Don't do it to them. I'm doing this as unto you, Lord. I want to shine like a bright light here. I want to have my ways peaceful. You put your head down on your pillow, you can sleep. You're not agitated because you're doing it God's way. You're making peace. Here's the last ingredient, number 5, and it all sort of sums all this together. Absorb wrongs. Don't seek to get even, but rather to do good. Seek to do good. Someone's got to absorb the hurt. Why don't you absorb it? Jesus absorbed our hurt. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Well, why don't we do the same thing? Why don't we just choose, this is the way I'm going to live my life? I'm going to live at peace with all men. As much as depends on me, this is what I'm going to do. And Kay read it this morning, Romans 12. Beloved, do not avenge yourself. Rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay. I mean, God is going to settle the book sometime. You don't have to settle the books. Let him settle it. He said, I will repay. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Now, we sort of like this part. Oh, I'll really burn them. I'll really show them. I'll show them up if I do this. I don't think that's what this means. I think it means more like Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. As soon as he saw the Lord, he just bowed down at his feet. He said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. I have sinful lips. He said, an angel flew to the altar, took a coal off the altar, flew back and touched Isaiah's lips with the coal and said, your lips are purged. They're clean. Sometimes we want to burn people with our words. And if we just have a soft answer, maybe the Lord would be able to burn them with conviction in their heart and in their soul. Where they're really feeling it and they can't understand why you're different. They don't understand why I'm feeling wrong in this when I thought it was wrong, but this gal's just really thrown me here. I've never seen anyone act this way before. It opens their heart for God to touch them with a coal from off the altar. Wow. These are powerful truths. But they're distasteful to ourselves. I don't like this. But really, when you put it all together, and here's your last point, peace is baked in the heat of self-sacrifice. When you put all these things we've talked about in the bowl, and you determine, I'm going to make peace here, and you're turning it over and over in this bowl. It's in a bowl in the heat of self-sacrifice. All of these things we're talking about, you have to die to yourself. You really have to die to yourself. Listen to what it says, Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, follow me. If you're going to follow the Lord in making peace, peace was cooked on the cross, as it were. It was baked on the cross in the heat of the suffering and tribulation that Jesus bore on the cross. It's going to be the same way for you. There's a taking up your cross and dying to yourself and thinking more of what God wants than how I'm reacting in this situation. The verses earlier in your notes says this, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God. When you do all this, you're gentle, you're making your request to the Lord, it says the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. What should rule in your heart? What is the governor of your decisions? What will cause you to make one decision over another? What's going to rule in your heart? It says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Make peace. Let that rule in your heart. I got this decision. I can fight back and get angry, or I can forgive and show grace. I want my gentleness to be known to all men. What should rule? The peace of God. What's going to bring peace? And let God have the vengeance. Let him get even. And just lay down your life for other people. And see if all our ways are not peace. You're going to have a nice cake at the end that you can eat and enjoy. A peaceful life is so much more enjoyable than one that is racked with turmoil and anxiety and frustration and judgment of others and always this thought, if only that hadn't happened, if only that hadn't happened. Oh man, why live like that? Because God is in control. They're not in control. The devil's not in control. God is in control. I'm submitting this to the Lord. I'm going to follow his way. I'm going to make peace. You put your head down, relax, you'll live longer. Skin will be tighter, no wrinkles with all the frowns. I'm sort of being facetious, but you know it's true. You'll just live a happier life when your life is peaceful. Shall we stand together this morning? Oh, quite the challenge. Do you want to make peace? Do you want to pursue the things that make peace? I think if we just open our hearts to the Lord and say, Lord, let me absorb your message this morning. I know it goes against my thoughts and my own natural inclination, but Lord, help me to be different. Would you just pray with me? Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we just open our hearts to say this is in the natural hard. It is sacrificial. It's not what we would naturally do. But Lord, we pray that you would fill us with the love of God, that we would be changed, transformed from the inside, that we will be different people, that we are children of God. And Lord, may our light shine before men. And may you touch other people because of your goodness that's shown through us. So Lord, we offer ourselves to you. Do this work within us. Adjust our minds. Guard our minds with the peace of God, I pray, that we will act the way you want us to act. We can live our lives pleasing to you, and all of our ways would be peace. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord.